Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for these daily challenges. These challenges are meant to help people learn what it means to follow Jesus in our busy commuting lifestyle. If you've never explored that topic at all before, I'd encourage you to start with our Christianity 101 course. You'll find it's a great introduction to the concepts we build on in these challenges. We go through a weekly rhythm, and today's Tuesday, so it's the day that we go into the Bible to see what it has to say about the topic we introduced on Monday. We always encourage you to do these challenges with a group. So if you're working through this alone, think about who in your life you could share this with. Maybe somebody from the train or bus, from work, from your neighborhood, somebody in your life who you could discuss important issues with that arise from these challenges. Well, because it's Tuesday, we're looking at what Jesus said in the Bible. And here's what he said as part of his Sermon on the Mount, his most comprehensive teaching of what it means to follow him. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Well, we're working through a series right now of examples Jesus gave to explain how he was going to fulfill the law, rather than just throwing out the law entirely from the Old Testament or wholeheartedly accepting the way scribes and Pharisees had been teaching it. In each of these examples, he starts out by saying, here's what you've heard taught. You've heard it said of old. And he quotes. And it might look like he's quoting the Old Testament law of the Bible, but he's not. He's quoting what the scribes and Pharisees have been teaching, which is not exactly what the Bible taught. In this case, he says, you've heard it said, you've heard it taught, that you shall love your neighbors and hate your enemies. And this is the most blatant one of all. It's the most blatant fabrication. The Bible says, love your neighbors, but it says nothing about hating your enemies. That's something that the teachers of the law had been adding in over the years. Whatever their reasons might have been, we can guess at a few of them, but either way, they were really fabricating things and claiming that God had told them so. This was such a terrible thing, and yet it was happening, and Jesus was here not to wholeheartedly accept it or to say that there is therefore no law, but to teach what God had originally meant to teach through the Old Testament law. In order to teach these things, the scribes and Pharisees had to really ignore some obvious words in the Old Testament. For example, from Leviticus 19, do not oppress or rob a neighbor, no matter his status. Here are some more examples. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall leave some extra for the poor and for the sojourner. You shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely, you shall not lie to one another. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now, just like it's easy for us to define our neighbors as good neighbors or bad neighbors, depending on our fence, the scribes and Pharisees had been defining what made a good or a bad neighbor to them, or what made a neighbor at all. God had so clearly said, love your neighbor, and the scribes and Pharisees were finding that so hard, so impossible, they decided God must not have meant everyone when he said neighbor. He must not have meant anyone who's near me. He must have meant, I don't know, just my fellow countrymen, just Jews, just people of my religion or my ethnicity. And so they took God's really generous commandment to love their neighbors and they narrowed it down to just a very small select group. In fact, the easiest people they could ever find to love. It's almost a non-commandment. Love your neighbor. Oh, well, if my neighbor's just people like me, that's easy. We very seldom have conflict because we're just like each other. We think the same, we worship the same God, we the same community, we're the same family. And yet the Bible had been so clear that they were to treat everyone, their neighbors and travelers, sojourners, the Bible said, the same. And even though the scribes and Pharisees wanted to say, you know what, there must be two laws, one law for people like us and one law for everybody else, they were completely ignoring the words from Exodus. There shall be one law for the native and the stranger who sojourns among you. But for the scribes and Pharisees, that was clearly too hard. So they decided that loving your neighbor must mean they had license to hate their enemies. One commentator, John Stott, called this a parasite on God's law. They'd taken God's law and they'd added onto it something that didn't belong and that was sucking the life out of it. Well, we're going to explore this in more depth tomorrow. But I have a question for you to look at first. How might we do the same with our definitions of both love and neighbor? In other words, what ways can you find to take something like love your neighbor and to kind of find ways to tweak it a little bit, make it a little bit easier, and to restrict who a neighbor is or restrict what love really means? Have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.